May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be now and ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Our service today is more in the manner of a meditation, not so long as usual. It has readings, but no hymns. It's been a very busy week, and I'm really recovering from last night, the wonderful service at Newquay, where Richard was ordained priest. It's customary for ordinands to spend some time on retreat immediately before their ordination. This has not been possible for Richard. The best we could do was for him and me to spend the day together the day before the ordination. The theme of our retreat was the Eucharist, or Holy Communion. Again, because of his illness, Richard has not had as much of the training and preparation for a priest as would be normal. So our focus on the Eucharist that day was designed to give him some more background. But I thought I would share some of the material with you all in this online meditation. Our first theme was the confession and the peace. In fact, we used a long penitential litany by the Roman Catholic Saint John Henry Newman as the beginning of our day together. Traditionally, Christians have always made their confession before partaking of the Eucharist. A similar thinking lies behind that moment in the service that we call the peace. Our confession, if it is sincere, reconciles us to the Father through the sacrifice of Christ. But we may still need to be reconciled to a brother or sister. Jesus said, "So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift." This is the source of the ceremony of the peace in the Eucharist. The psalmist writes, "Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? Those who have clean hands and pure hearts." To be ordained a priest in our church is to be given the privilege of standing in the holy place. Not just in the physical holy space of the sanctuary up by the altar, but in the space made holy by the relationship between the Lord and his people. This is the space of intercession in which the priest is called to minister. However long one has been ordained a priest, none of us is equal to this or worthy of it, and none of us has perfect relationships with all our brothers and sisters. But rather like good Muslims and Jews washing their hands before worship, so we, in making our confession and in the sharing of the peace, make clean our hands and hearts before we make our offering at the altar, the offering in which the priest must lead the people. In the ordination service, Richard was vested, clothed for his ministry, with the stole which in our church only a priest may wear. On our day together, we shared the poem Aaron by the great Anglican priest poet George Herbert. I know I've shared it with some of you before. In the poem, Herbert reflects on the beautiful robes of the priest Aaron from the book of Exodus and his own sense of being unworthy to wear the priestly garments. We will hear the whole of the poem shortly, but first we hear Exodus 28, the chapter from which the description of Aaron's robes is drawn. It requires one or two words of explanation. Aaron wears a robe called an ephod. On the front of it there is a breastplate, and hanging from the breastplate are the Urim and Thummim, which were used in the casting of lots. Sometimes people came to the priests to ask them for help with the decision they had to make. And sometimes, after prayer, the priest would use the Urim and Thummim to cast lots, trusting God to lead him to the right decision. You will recall that after much prayer, this is how the apostles chose the 13th apostle, Matthias, to be the replacement for Judas. I find it hard to resist the temptation to say that perhaps the members of the Conservative Party should use this method to choose their next leader. It can hardly work worse than their last attempt. The words Urim and Thummim are not easy to translate, but in the poem, Herbert calls them lights and perfections, which is one possible version. Aaron also wore a headdress, which had on it a tablet engraved with the words, Holy unto the Lord. Around the hem of the ephod, there were small bells. The idea was that they would ring when the priest walked, and especially as he was entering the Holy of Holies, that greatest privilege of the priest of the Lord. There was a sense that the bells would tell the Lord of the priest's approach, so that he could enter in safety. Here is the reading from Exodus chapter 28, in the King James Version, which Herbert would have known. Aaron shall bear the names of the sons of Israel on the breastplate of judgment over his heart, when he goes into the holy place, as a memorial before the Lord continually. And you shall put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and Thummim, and they shall be over Aaron's heart when he goes in before the Lord. So Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel over his heart before the Lord continually. You shall make the robe of the ephod all of blue. There shall be an opening for his head in the middle of it. It shall have a woven binding all around its opening, like the opening in a coat of mail, so that it does not tear. And upon its hem you shall make pomegranates of blue, purple, and scarlet all around its hem, and bells of gold between them all around. A golden bell and a pomegranate, a golden bell and a pomegranate, upon the hem of the robe all around. And it shall be upon Aaron when he ministers, and its sound will be heard when he goes into the holy place before the Lord, and when he comes out, that he may not die. You shall also make a plate of pure gold and engrave on it, like the engraving of a signet, Holiness to the Lord. And you shall put it on a blue cord, that it may be on the turban. It shall be on the front of the turban. So it shall be on Aaron's forehead, that Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy things which the children of Israel hallow in all their holy gifts, and it shall always be on his forehead, that they may be accepted before the Lord. Here ends the reading. The priest, then, is beautifully dressed. In the poem, Aaron, Herbert uses the beauty of the robes first to describe what a priest ought to be like, and then to describe the unworthiness he feels as a priest. We're not sure how autobiographical it is or how much he is simply teaching for the benefit of his readers and hearers. At any rate, the contrast between the beauty of what Aaron wears and the uncleanness of the heart of the priest is the theme of the poem. But then the poem turns, and the poet expresses the confidence which Richard and I and every Christian priest or minister must feel, that the privilege of our ministry depends not on any merit of our own or on any offering which we can bring to the Lord, but on the merits of Christ and the offering which he has made for us once for all. Aaron by George Herbert. Holiness on the head, lights and perfections on the breast, harmonious bells below raising the dead to lead them unto life and rest. Thus are true Aarons dressed. Profaneness in my head, defects and darkness in my breast, a noise of passions ringing me for dead unto a place where is no rest. Poor priest, thus am I dressed. Only another head I have, another heart and breast, another music making live, not dead, without whom I could have no rest. In him I am well dressed. Christ is my only head, my alone only heart and breast, my only music striking me even dead, that to the old man I may rest, and be in him new dressed. So, holy in my head, perfect and light in my dear breast, my doctrine tuned by Christ, who is not dead, but lives in me while I do rest. Come, people, Aaron's dressed. Having reminded himself that he is, like every Christian, new dressed in Christ, the priest is ready to lead the worship of the people. Every priest must be a penitent, and only when he has first set himself straight with the Lord can he invite his people to come and do the same. Those last words, "Come, people, Aaron's dressed," invite the congregation to the joyful celebration of the Eucharist, and the service moves on with what we call the Sursum Corda. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord, because the Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Amen.
Let us pray. Lord of life, at this time of crisis for our families and communities, our nation and our world, we turn to you in faith to seek your guidance and receive your blessing, knowing that nothing in all creation can separate us from your love, made known to us in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We ask this in the name of him who took our infirmities and bore our diseases, who suffered the cross and rose again triumphant. For he lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Lord God, you are the Father of all people. We come before you today with our prayers, knowing that you will hear us, help us, and guide us. In the name of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. We pray for the Church. Lord, as you have called us, make us worthy of our calling. Let us see you in others, and let others see you in us. Make us more sensitive to others and to their needs. Make us more ready to help and to show we care. Lord, make us a serving church, a giving church, a loving church. We pray for all our churches here in the local ministry area of Gleniron, for our Bishop Joe, and we wish her a speedy recovery, for our Archdeacon Eileen, our LMA Dean John, and for Matthew, Judith and Helen. And of course we pray for Richard, as he begins the next chapter of his life as a newly ordained priest. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. In the last few days, we have watched with disbelief and horror as the members of our elected government have self-destructed. Help them to make future decisions founded in integrity and humility. Protect them from the temptation to seek personal promotion or financial gain. Inspire them to campaign and vote for the good of our area, our nation, and the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, we bring to you the marginalised, the struggling, the working poor, and the unemployed, waking up and wondering how they are going to get through this day and many more to come. May we become part of the answer to this prayer, a compassionate and generous people, working for the common good of all, and seeing all as neighbours, not simply strangers to ignore. May we become a little more like you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We were privileged on Thursday to host the children of our local junior school for their annual harvest service. Bless all the children, Lord, growing up into a future that is difficult to predict. Protect them, guide them, and give them wisdom to see above and beyond the tempting choices this world may offer, that they might become the people who, in your eyes, they are meant to be. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. As the conflict in Ukraine continues into an eighth month, and Russia escalates the dispute with the use of drones attacking civilian population, we pray for the people of Ukraine. We pray for the millions who have fled their homes and have found refuge in this and other countries. We pray for all those who continue to fear for their lives. We pray for the leaders of the world that they will find ways for a peaceful end to the conflict. And we pray for the work of the aid agencies as they seek to provide humanitarian aid, food, shelter, clean water, and medical supplies to those in need. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit, and for those who are terminally ill, elderly, or frail. We pray for Richard as he begins a new round of treatment next week. And in a moment of quiet, we bring those known to us to you. We also pray for the many who strive to bring comfort and healing to them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, O Lord, that you will remember in your kingdom all those who have faithfully served you here on earth and who are now at rest. Grant us with them and with all the faithful departed the joy of your salvation. We commend ourselves and all for whom we pray to the mercy and protection of God. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Now may the love of the Lord Christ go with you wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, rest upon you and remain with you this day and always.